of three Chicagoans, all raised as Christians, all who decided to ultimately reject that religion. Nadira Rodriguez Muhammad grew up Catholic, but found herself constantly questioning the long-held beliefs of her family.
I always felt that something was missing for me.
Ian Bushner is a law student at the University of Chicago.
Felt like that there wasn't a God.
Whitney Nichols is a new Loyola grad who grew up in suburban Streamwood.
I guess what I was really looking for was what felt most natural and most logical to me.
When Nadira entered high school in the mid-1990s, she became friends with a group of Muslim girls.
They just had this level of contentment and a sisterhood that was, I wanted to be a part of that.
Ian drifted towards the Muslim students at his high school as well.
I remember defending some of my friends at school from accusations, after 9/11. And then I started reading the Quran. I said, here is a form of God that I've never been presented before.
After September 11, the interest actually increased.
Dr. Asad Basool is professor at Chicago's Islamic American College. He says the tragedy 6 years ago initially prompted angry questions. But eventually, many of the curious found answers to their own spiritual questions through Islam and converted.
Sometimes, negative things bring positive things.
In fact, according to a first-ever random sampling of American Muslims by the Pew Research Center, 21% of the nation's 2.4 million Muslims are converts to the faith.
Eventually, I realized that I was looking to the Quran for advice, for direction, and at the point that you believe that the Quran is revelation from God, then you're a Muslim.
The conversion has meant many changes in their lives. Ian prays 5 times a day.
You'll finish a prayer and realize, I've just screwed something up. I've done something mean to somebody. Let me go back and correct that.
Nadira wears the scarf, or hijab, as it's called.
It is part of my character, modesty, and it's just part of who I am.
I don't know if I'll ever be ready to wear the hijab. I've become more modest. I won't wear tank tops and I won't wear shorts.
Whitney says she has had to constantly defend her new religion.
My father asked me right after I converted, why do you want to be associated with these terrorists? And I'm like, this is what you see? Oh no! And we kind of have to deal with the backlash of those who have chosen to do something so horrible.
But all say there is no going back.
At some age, everyone must decide what they believe and live their life accordingly.
I'm Mexican, I'm a female, and I chose this for myself.
If you have a personal, relationship with God, whatever that may be.
I want to pause it there and come out of it for just a minute between the video clips. The reason I was pausing that is I wanted you to see in this clip, this is news footage, but it's showing you the wide array of people that are going to the religion. It's not any one people group. If you're not careful, we get to thinking and we categorize it that Islam is targeting, and in prisons pretty much that we deal with the Rock of Ages, it's majority black that it's dealing with. But I've met white, I've met Hispanic, I've met all different nationalities in the religion, and you saw it from all walks of life. But most of and you can go on the internet if you've got time to do some looking and type in the phrase, turning to Islam, and you'll hear testimonies on there of, I don't understand this one, Pastor, but Baptist preachers that have converted to Islam. There's one Baptist preacher on there that said, the religion answered questions I could never get answered from the Bible. Wait a minute, now, something's wrong. You don't know the author, amen? The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, but let him ask in faith, not wavering. They're in James chapter 1. And so it's the Word of God's got the answers. But the thing is, the natural man receiveth not the things of God because they're foolishness to him. They're not. I don't believe they're saved that are converting. Amen. How could you convert to something that is so anti-God and anti-Christ as this religion is? Even though they claim a God and so forth as this. But I wanted you to see just again the realm that it's reaching. This next video clip is a Muslim demographics. It's showing the growth rate, and some of it's a projected growth rate. of nations around the world, and even including the United States. And much of the growth is taking place by what is called immigration, which is Muslims moving in, coming into the country, getting citizenship, taking up residence in these different countries. And I've got a whole briefcase full of stuff over here that I can show you, articles and stuff. I can document a whole lot of stuff that I'm going to just say in the three services that we've got with you. But so much information that is out there. I'm trying to cram into tonight and tomorrow morning and tomorrow night about 16 hours of classroom teaching, amen. And I don't teach slow. I usually am going 90 miles an hour through it, but there's so much information to try to get out to you. And so I'm probably sound very scattered because I'm trying to process what information I need to get to you. But this demographics is, I think 2008 is when it was put together. And I'm not the one that put it together, but somebody that researched the population growth of these countries and put this together. But it shows you the alarming rate at which the religion is growing. And I'll give you some figures to go with it a little bit in just a little bit here. But let me start this video clip. And it'll start out a little bit loud, and then it'll tone down.
Research. In order for a culture to maintain itself for more than 25 years, there must be a fertility rate of 2.11 children per family. With anything less, the culture will decline. Historically, no culture has ever reversed a 1.9 fertility rate. A rate of 1.3, impossible to reverse, because it would take 80 to 100 years to correct itself. And there is no economic model that can sustain a culture during that time. In other words, if two sets of parents each have one child, there are half as many children as parents. If those children have one child, then there are one-fourth as many grandchildren as grandparents. If only 1 million babies are born in 2006, it's hard to have 2 million adults enter the workforce in 2026. As the population shrinks, so does the culture. As of 2007, the fertility rate in France was 1.8, England 1.6, Greece 1.3, Germany 1.3, Italy 1.2, Spain 1.1. Across the entire European Union of 31 countries, the fertility is a mere 1.38. Historical research tells us these numbers are impossible to reverse. In a matter of years, Europe as we know it will cease to exist. Yet the population of Europe is not declining. Why? Immigration. Islamic immigration. Of all population growth in Europe since 1990, 90% has been Islamic immigration. France, 1.8 children per family. Muslims, 8.1. In southern France, traditionally one of the most populated church regions in the world, there are now more mosques than churches. 30% of children ages 20 and younger are Islamic. In the larger cities such as Nice, Marseille, and Paris, that number has grown to 45%. By 2027, 1 in 5 Frenchmen will be Muslim. In just 39 years, France will be an Islamic republic. In the last 30 years, the Muslim population of Great Britain rose from 82,000 to 2.5 million, a 30-fold increase. There are over 1,000 mosques, many of them former churches. In the Netherlands, 50% of all newborns are Muslim, and in only 15 years, half of the population of the Netherlands will be Muslim. In Russia, there are over 23 million Muslims. That's one out of five Russians. 40% of the entire Russian army will be Islamic in just a few short years. Currently in Belgium, 25% of the population and 50% of all newborns are Muslim. The government of Belgium has stated one-third of all European children will be born to Muslim families by 2025, just 17 years away. The German government, the first to talk about this publicly, recently released a statement saying, "The fall in the German population can no longer be stopped. Its downward spiral is no longer reversible. It will be a Muslim state by the year 2050. Muammar al-Gaddafi of Libya said, "There are signs that Allah will grant victory to Islam in Europe, without swords, without guns, without conquest. We don't need terrorists. We don't need homicide bombers. The 50-plus million Muslims in Europe will turn it into a Muslim continent within a few decades." There are currently 52 million Muslims in Europe. The German government said that number is expected to double in the next 20 years to 104 million. Closer to home, the numbers tell a similar story. Right now, Canada's fertility rate is 1.6, nearly a full point below what is required to sustain a culture. And Islam is now the fastest growing religion. Between 2001 and 2006, Canada's population increased by 1.6 million, 1.2 of those immigration. In the United States, the current fertility rate of American citizens is 1.6. With the influx of the Latino nations, the rate increases to 2.11, the bare minimum required to sustain a culture. In 1970, there were 100,000 Muslims in America. Today, there are over 9 million. The world is changing. It's time to wake up. 3 years ago, a meeting of 24 Islamic organizations was held in Chicago. The transcripts of that meeting showed in detail their plans to evangelize America through journalism, politics, education, and more. They said, "We must prepare ourselves for the reality that in 30 years, there will be 50 million Muslims living in America. The world that we live in is not the world in which our children and grandchildren will live." The Catholic Church recently reported that Islam has just surpassed their membership numbers. Some studies show that at Islam's current rate of growth, in 5 to 7 years, it will be the dominant religion of the world. As believers, we call upon you to join the effort to share the gospel message with the changing world. This is a call to action.
I just had a missionary in my office this last week from France. And the figures on here, and this was in 2008, and they were given a projected date of 2027, that one in five of the population would be Muslim. That's in 2027. Okay, that's 14 years away or 13 years away. And this missionary shared with me just this week that the Muslim population in France is 25%. That's one in four already. Just to give you an idea of the projected growth rate, it's missed the target. It's much faster than what they're projecting. This missionary shared that the Muslims that have daughters will get non-Muslims to like them, and the only way that they can have them or marry them is to convert to their religion, no other way. And so they've got a bunch of people, and this missionary said, "Brother Richardson," and this kind of surprised me, he said, "of those that convert in that fashion usually become the most extremist of the groups." If you look at the news that was taking place over in Africa where our daughter and son-in-law live, there in Kenya, the mall bombings that took place there. The main leaders of that were not Arab. They were white that had converted to Islam and become the militant faction of that to do that terrorist act there in the mall. And so it just, again, the alarming growth rate, it's growing. The video made the statement, said that the Catholic Church had just announced or released figures that Islam had just surpassed their membership. That happened a long time ago. In 1996, the world population was 6 billion people. Islam at that time was numbering 1 billion. Okay, that was 1/6 of the world's population. The world population today is like 7 billion or 7.2 billion right now. Islam has grown. Some of the CIA figures estimate the world population of Muslims to be somewhere between 2 to 2.2 billion. You say, well, preacher, what does that mean? Well, that means, Pastor, I'm not a mathematician, but that tells me that from 1996 to present day, Islam has consumed the entire growth population of the world. That's how rapid it has grown. It's growing at the rate the world population is growing. There's never been a religion in the world grow like that. And it's not because it's of the Lord, it's because God's using it for His end time plan. And we'll look at that more later, but the Catholic Church, I can't remember how many years ago it's been now, but when not the Pope that's present, but the Pope before him came into power, the Catholic population at that time was 998 million. Right at the 1 billion mark. And so if you look at the Muslim population being 2.1 to 2.2 billion, the Muslim population is almost double the population of Catholicism. Now, you've heard a lot of people say that, Christianity is still the largest religion in the world. That's only if you include Catholicism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, and everything that names the name of Christ into that figure. If you take Catholicism out of it, that brings you down to about 1.1 billion under the label of Christians, and that's still including Church of Christ and everything, every denomination that the majority not even saved. Now, I read the Word of God, and you read there in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through verse 10, where Christ is dealing with the calling of the church out, the 10 virgins, and there were 5 of them that were wise and 5 that were unwise. Only 5 of them had oil, amen? Only 5 had the Holy Spirit of God indwelling them. And God, in His Word, declaring 50% of the church isn't even saved, isn't even Christian. So the Christian population is very minimal compared to what Islam is. Just trying to let you see the growth of it. Islam didn't come to the forefront much at all until 2001, 9/11, when the towers were hit there in New York. In 2001, when the towers were hit, it brought the whole world's attention to Islam, and since that time, there's been much about Islam in the media, in the news. The media has misrepresented it over and over again. It's nothing but lies coming across through the media. It's not the truth. They're not peaceful. They're not loving. They're not understanding. They're not this docile group that the media tries to portray. They're a bunch of radicals. If they go by what their book says, they would kill you and I. If they go by what their book says, they will kill us. They hate us. They despise us. You say, well, preacher, they're our enemies. And what I'm teaching and what I'm trying to get across, I want to try to buffer this right now instead of later. But how many of y'all been praying for Muslims? Got just a few hands went up. Now, if I ask the rest of you, why hadn't you been praying for Muslims? Well, preacher, you crazy? They're our enemies, right? What are we supposed to be doing concerning our enemies, folks? We've dropped the ball. That's why we're in the mess that we're in. That's the reason our nation is in the shape that it's in. Because we as Christians have not done what we should have been doing all along and praying for them that hate us, doing good to them that despitefully use us. And I believe God's going to hold us accountable one day when we get to heaven. But Tom, I believe with all my heart that God's going to say, why did... I mean, that's the largest people group in the world. Why didn't you do something to reach them? Now, I'm not showing stuff to make us hate them. I'm showing us stuff to let us see what's happened and where we've missed it and where we can start praying as we should. The Bible said, you know, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is... And we know we should be praying for enemies. Don't we know that? And it's sin to not do that. And if nothing else this weekend, if we can just open our hearts and our minds up to get us to praying like we ought to pray, I think it can make a difference in the world. Is it going to stop the Lord's return? No. He's coming. Like we used to do when we was playing kids, or playing as kids, playing hide and seek. No, you count to 10, ready or not, here I come. He's coming whether you're ready or not, amen. And I hear preacher after preacher say, except the Lord tarry. The Bible says, and He will not tarry. He's coming. The day is set. He knows when He's coming, amen. You say, well, the disciples asked Him when He was going to return. And He said, no man knows save the Father which is in heaven. Well, John chapter 10, He said, I and my Father are one. He knows, amen. But they asked Him as a man, not as God. And He answered them as a man. But the Lord is coming, and we better be doing all that we can. And if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways. You realize it's wicked to not pray for your enemies? It's sin. The Word of God says we're to do it. To not do it, it's sin. I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand before the Lord not being obedient to His Word. Listen to this statement.
Now, Father, if you don't believe in Christ when you die, you are going to hell?
No, not at all. It's the Catholic belief that Jesus is the source of salvation. Jesus is God. We believe that. But what do we say to the millions and billions of people who don't even know about Jesus? Are they just thrown into hell? Or what about a rabbi who really follows the Lord as best he can? As a Catholic, I'm very comfortable that he attains salvation by doing this.
Christ, so he attains Christ, it without believing in Christ.
Correct. Without an explicit
belief. Many in the Christian fraternity and the Protestant do not believe that.
Correct.
Right.
As a Catholic, I can believe that Christ is God and He loves people, and it's not the goal of Christ to try to throw people into hell.
And as a Catholic, how do you view Muhammad?
I'm as a very wise man. I see the beauty of Islam in a very strong way. A simple approach to God, a simple approach to prayer and devotion. I'm very touched by five times a day praying. I'm very touched by the Ramadan, by the fasting, the beautiful presence of God and the power of God. And as a Catholic, I need to learn from that.
Rabbi,
did you ever think you'd hear Catholic priests praising Islam? The previous pope, when he first came into office, made some remarks about Muslims being such a bloody, violent religion. He's forgot their own past, but that's okay. And then when Islam rose up about his statements, he went to recanting his statements and apologizing to Muslims for what he had said. Now, when have you ever heard a pope do that before? And now on public international TV, national television, a priest praising Islam. You say, preacher, what's taking place? I'm just showing you that the role's reversed. Catholicism, I think, has been a cloak. It's been something to misguide us, misdirect us, until the giant of Islam has now come to the surface and shown its true colors for what it is. And now it's so big and so large, we're saying, what do we do now? But it's still one soul at a time, preacher. It still make a difference in one life at a time for as long as God gives us. That's all it is. But I just wanted you to see here now the religion that prophetic writers for years and years have looked to and said they're the power, they're the ones, that's the church, that's the harlot church that's coming on the scene in tribulation time. I'm just showing you that's not it. They're succumbing to. They're starting to bow down to. It's Islam that's coming to the forefront. And is at the forefront now. And even the Catholic Church is recognizing it.
I've spoken here last. Lots of ups. Lots of downs. except for my approval ratings, which have just gone down. But that's politics. It doesn't bother me. Besides, I happen to know that my approval ratings are still very high in the country of my birth.
I just thought you might like to hear that thrown in there. We see he's from the country of Kenya, where Tanya and Luke are missionaries. Matter of fact, his brother was just in the last election last January. He lost. I've got pictures in my briefcase that I can show you of our president in Kenya campaigning for Raila Odinga, which caused all the bloodshed in the previous election 4 years ago, where over 1,500 people were slaughtered because of his beliefs. A radical Muslim. All of his family knows he's a Muslim. Now, I'm not politic, and I'm just showing you Islam, okay? He said the country of his birth. I didn't say that. He did.
On June 28, 2006, Senator Barack Obama gave a speech to the Call to Renewal Conference, where he explained why he finds it so difficult for America to use the Bible to help guide our public policy.
Which passages of Scripture should guide our public policy? Should we go with Leviticus, which suggests slavery is okay? Or we could go with Deuteronomy, which suggests stoning your child if he strays from the faith? Or should we just stick to the Sermon on the Mount, a passage that is so radical that it's doubtful that our own Defense Department would survive its application? Folks haven't been reading the Bible.
Senator Obama, after you so arrogantly mocked and...
That was during his campaign the first time. Belittling, mocking the Bible. You know, when I said he was a Muslim a while ago, I want you to listen to the fervor now in the next video clip in which he quotes the Quran. Or, well, it don't have the actual quote. It says, the Holy Quran says, and over and over and over again. But the man despises the Word of God. He despises the Bible. You say, well, preacher, wait a minute. He's our president. He's the president of this nation. And the hearts of the kings are in his hand. I believe with all my heart, preacher, God's got in office who he wants in office. And I'll explain more about that tomorrow. But it's all just playing towards the end time, towards what God is doing. Listen to some of these other clips that are here now. This is a compilation of a lot of different clips here. I won't show the whole thing. I want to just get into part of it and then move on.
Assalamu alaikum. Many other Americans have Muslims in their families or have lived in a Muslim-majority country. I know because I am one of them. But my father came from a Kenyan family that includes generations of Muslims. As a boy, I spent several years in Indonesia and heard the call of the azan at the break of dawn. I have known Islam on three continents before coming to the region where it was first revealed. That experience guides my conviction.
You are absolutely right that John McCain has not talked about my Muslim faith.
He said his Muslim faith.
As the Holy Quran tells us, the Holy Quran teaches that, the Holy Quran tells us, and the Holy Quran also says...
I'm going to mute it for just a second there. It's still going on playing. He didn't say the Bible verses like that. Not with the same zeal, not with the same heart. See, folks, we need to know what we got in office. We know more how to pray for it, okay? We need to realize the shape that our nation is in. This goes on for about 15 or 20 minutes, this particular clip. I'm not going to show the whole thing, but if you're interested in it, I'll download it to a disc or something and leave it here for you so you can get it from the preacher and watch it some other time. But it's got all kinds of information like that in it. But you heard him say, I've known Islam on three continents before coming here. He's in Iran addressing them, and he's behind the presidential seal when this is taking place. This is our president. You saw him bowing down to the king of Saudi Arabia. You saw him, just so many things that he has done. But I want to show you another quote here. This is from his...
We opposed this war from the beginning, and as president, I will end it. Second, I will cut tens of billions of dollars in wasteful spending. I will cut investments in unproven missile defense systems. I will not weaponize space. I will slow our development of future combat systems, and I will institute an independent defense priorities board to ensure that the quadrennial defense review is not used to justify unnecessary spending. Third, I will set a goal of a world without nuclear weapons. To seek that goal, I will not develop new nuclear weapons. I will seek a global ban on the production of fissile material, and I will negotiate with Russia to take our ICBMs off hair trigger alert and to achieve deep cuts in our nuclear arsenals.
He's not stopped Iran, but he's stopping America from going on with development. There's many other video clips that I can't get that you go to the site, you could type in Disarming America, and they're no longer available. I got this one. This was the last one I could get my hands on back when I got it. But many of those have disappeared off the web now. You can't get them. In some of those video clips, he literally said, I will disarm America. And he's doing everything that he can. And folks, it has to happen. All your prophetic writers, Pastor, am I not right, that you read after, America's not in prophecy. Now, we've always justified it as saying that, well, we're not in prophecy because we're annihilated. We're not annihilated, we're just rendered a nothing country and we're almost there. We've almost been bankrupted. We are bankrupt, all but filing the papers. We're going to be rendered as far... See, economically, we have to be moved to a position, not for the rapture, but for tribulation to set in and the Antichrist to be able to come on the scene and say, hey, world, here's the answers. America's got to be removed from that position of power. Right now, anything happens in the world, we're still doing it. And we're still sending aid to the Philippines. And I'm not for it. I'm not against helping people that are hurting. But, how much can you continue to borrow to help everybody else when you're already, you're already going down for the third time yourself, amen? And that's where we are. I'm not trying to say we quit being gracious. I'm not saying we quit being caring. But he's doing everything that he can. And our nation, as much as I love our nation, Brother Richardson, our nation has to go down as a world power in order for tribulation to set in. Now, the church is raptured out, am I not right, preacher? And then tribulation sets in. But see, the son of perdition is not going to be revealed until the church is raptured. Now, the church is raptured out, and the Antichrist comes on the scene. He comes on the scene with all of the answers to bring about a false peace, a fake peace for 3.5 years. Well, see, right now it's America that comes to the aid of everybody to bring this peace and everything. We've got to be removed from that position for the Antichrist to be revealed. And we're just about to that place of being removed. When we're broke, we can't afford a military. There won't be a military when there's no funds to pay the military. When you saw General McCrillis here, what was that, about a year ago, year and a half ago, General McCrillis made a statement about the commander-in-chief. News reporter got it. President Obama was going to fire a general if he didn't resign. The morale of the military is being destroyed day by day, and the security of the military, their livelihood, their well-being, their living is not as secure as it once was because our nation is going broke, and the government's doing everything it can to drive us there faster. Just that's the state that we're in. And Islam is playing a major role in that because they hate America because we love the Jews. Because we love Israel. Because we see them as God's chosen people. There's a hatred for us. I don't know if you can see the book there. The book that is in his hand. This was the book that he was reading during his first campaign. The name of the book is The Post-American World. He's reading on what the world would be like when America's gone. Written by a Muslim. You can zoom in on the name and see the name and check it out on the web. It's there. That's a book that was in his hand. He's reading. He's studying. He's doing what he can to get us to that point, to that place. Ezekiel 20 and verse 29. I run across this the other day, preacher. I told you every time I teach this, I run across new stuff. Ezekiel 20, 29. Then I said unto them, what is the high place whereunto ye go? The name thereof is called Bama unto this day. When you look at our nation, now I'm not talking about you and I, but I'm talking about our nation has flocked after this president, regardless of what he does, regardless of what he brings in. I mean, that he's exalted. I mean, he's got his followers. I heard one of them the other day saying, he's never lied, he's never misdirected. And right after that, they showed a clip of him saying, well, I'm sorry for the misdirection I gave. His followers, and no, when have you ever heard Muslim nations call and congratulate a president of the United States for winning the election besides this president? When have you ever heard Louis Farrakhan declare a president of the United States to be the Savior? This president. This is just some interesting stuff I found in Strong's Numbers. If you look up Isaiah 14 and verse 14, the Word of God says, I will ascend. Now this is Satan talking. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now if you look up that in the Strong's, that word heights, the word heights is Bama in the Hebrew language. Just coincidence now. Bama, which means high, lifted up, exalted, you know, and all these things. You look up the definition. In Luke 10 and verse 18, he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now you look up the word lightning in the New Testament, and it means brightness, it means glow, it means all these things that describe. But you look up the word lightning over in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew language, the Hebrew word that's translated to the English word lightning is barak. Maybe it don't mean that. Maybe I'm just grabbing at straws, preacher. I don't know. But I think God's Word's trying to tell us a few things. Back when I first started teaching on Islam, all of our missionaries as they traveled were sending me stuff, sending me material. Every time they'd run across something, they'd send it to me on Islam. This is a message that appeared in a church bulletin. It says Surah, or Quran verse 9:1:1. And this is written up in an insert in a church bulletin, Pastor. It says, for it is written that a son of Arabia would awaken a fearsome eagle. The wrath of the eagle would be felt throughout the lands of Allah. And lo, while some of the people trembled in despair, still more rejoiced, for the wrath of the eagle cleansed the lands of Allah, and there was peace. Well, that sounds pretty good since, you know, it goes on to state that, I don't have it on the next slide there, but it goes on to state on that church bulletin. I've got it in my briefcase over here. It said Muslims need to read up on their Quran. Since America is symbolized by an eagle, that's a picture in their Quran of America coming to cleanse their lands. Now, I've seen that on church marquees. I've seen it in emails floating around. I've seen it in this church bulletin. I asked our missionary to give me the name of the church. They wouldn't do it. I wasn't going to call and get on them. I was just going to call and try to tell them, listen, you need to read up yourself. See, because the Bible says, Proverbs 24 and verse 6, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. There's a whole lot of people taking and running with stuff that they've not studied out. And what you say, well, preacher, what does it hurt? Well, I've got the Quran on my computer where I can do word searches. The word eagle does not even appear in the Quran. Matter of fact, that verse that we just read that's supposed to be out of the Quran is nowhere in the Quran. And you say, what does that do? Well, that takes somebody that's a Muslim that's trying to work. Say, if I was a Muslim and I was trying to convert you and trying to win you over to a religion of truth that's not a bunch of radicals out here fighting everything under the sun, and isn't that the way the media tries to make the child of God look? Like the idiot, like the radical, like the, you know, we're the dummies, we're the ones that don't get along with nobody. And if I came by a church sign and that was plastered up there, I'd say, well, here, no, look in my Quran. That's not even there. See what they are? It makes Christians look like a bunch of idiots. Because we've not, by wise counsel, made our war. Now, I'm not trying to declare war on Islam. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is there is a war going on, and we better be equipped to stand. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, the Bible says. We need to know what we're talking about. And that's some of what the preacher was wanting to get across this weekend, is to get you some knowledge, get you some ammunition, get you some stuff. I've got four tracts, and I'm going to leave you a pack of each one of them, preacher, that's dealing with the Muslim. How many of y'all have run across some Muslims in your area? They're here. I guarantee it. They're here. And we better learn how to witness to them. If we'll start being the light that God wants us to be, we can make a difference in this world. Are we going to stop the Lord's return? Are we going to stop our nation from going down? No, it's going to happen. But I can stand before my Savior and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Instead of hanging my head in shame and saying, I didn't do anything to reach any of them. The Bible says, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. Preacher, I guess that's about as good a place as any to stop. But just trying to... I didn't want to do the videos and stuff on a Sunday morning. I want to be in the Word of God as much as I can in the morning and not in the Quran, but there's so much in the Quran that is teaching them to hate us, to despise us, to do everything they can against us. And the Bible says, and we're to love them that hate us. Do good to them that despitefully use us. I don't know about you, but I want to be guilty of doing what God's Word says. And not allowing my flesh to rise up and stop me from doing what God's Word says. Islam is growing. It's taking over. It's everywhere you look today. And it's only going to get more so. We're not going to stop it. But we can sure try to reach all of them that we can. Be aware of what's taking place. You know, I don't know about you, but I can pray a whole lot more effective when I know how to pray. When I know how to pray for our government. For our leaders that are in office. You say, well, preacher, they just need to get saved. I know that. But it's hard to pray for them to get saved when you don't know really what they are. What their agenda is. What they're doing. And there's so much that they're doing that is falling right in line with what the teachings of Islam are. Preacher, I guess if you can just pray and I'll turn it over to you. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we ask you to bless, Lord, to take what we've shared tonight, Lord. Father, it ought to be enough to stir up any child of God to do more for you than we've ever done before. Father, if it does nothing else, Lord, it ought to challenge us. Lord, to show us that we must, like Christ, when He said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work. Lord, it ought to stir us to the point that we attempt to do more for you than we've ever done before. Father, instead of getting discouraged and downhearted and down-mouthed, and Lord, we ought to get excited and say, we can do. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. God, challenge your hearts. Lord, not to let up, not to slack up, but to be more fervent, more sold out, more determined to serve you and to live for you than we ever have been before. Lord, I looked at some of the pictures on the back wall when I was coming in tonight. Lord, and that picture said, as with roses. After they'd beaten him, after they'd scourged him, Lord, I pray that God, you'd help us, Lord, if we do enter into persecutions, Lord, and it's very possible that we will, God, help us to keep that spirit. God, that we can glorify you in all that we do and say. And we'll praise you. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.